Hello, this is Leisha Holmes of Key Recruitment here, and I'm delighted to welcome back a guest that joined us at the start of our YouTube journey, and you all recognise her. This is Louise Archer of Retrain Search. Hi, Lou.
Hello. Hi, Leisha. Great to be back. Oh. Yeah, I've been following you, listening to everybody else, so it's a real pleasure to be back here.
Well, we're delighted to have you back. And so for those who haven't been following your recent news, can you just explain where you're up to in terms of your business?
Yeah, sure. So I took the opportunity with the time that I was suddenly awarded, having all of my face-to-face training cancelled or postponed, to finally do what I've been wanting to do for ages and put it all into a video training program, which I'm delivering now as a blend of hands-on. I'm basically hand-holding everybody through that. And it's done, it's finished, like a lot of like heartache and just hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and days and weeks that just blended into a whole load of mountainous work is finally finished. And we have currently 9 teams running through the program, all at various different stages and winning retainers already. So yeah, it's really exciting. I've been really busy.
It's absolutely wonderful. And, you know, I've obviously been a huge advocate of what you do, and anyone that's interested, Lou's contact details will be attached to this video and on our shares on social media. So watch this space, everyone. So I have got a rather controversial question to ask you, given that I'm a, you know, a huge supporter and cheerleader for the recruitment sector. But is recruitment as we know it broken?
Oh, it is controversial because, you know, not everybody will, you know, will agree with me. But I guess the safest way of me answering it is that is predominantly why people call me. Because it is, you know, the contingent model is just not, it's not really working in most markets anymore. And that's why agency owners, agency leaders, consultants are calling me to say, like, we need to change tack. And we've been reflecting on, you know, fill rates, revenue, motivation, and client relationships and productivity and all of those things that make a successful business, and saying it's frustratingly, yeah, not working, and we want to do something differently. So I don't think it, you know, nowadays, I don't think the contingent model works that well in the markets that clients typically use external service provision for, you know, for the straightforward kind of easy to fill positions where you can just stick an advert on and it doesn't really matter who you get, it's just a warm body in a seat, then they can usually do it themselves. You know, they're not going to go generally to look for some specialist support. And in the markets where they can't do it themselves and they do need some specialist support, it isn't as simple as just putting an advert on and fielding a response. You know, like I remember the days where my inbox was basically listed in ad responses, and, you know, all you had to do was kind of put them in the right places, go through them, sift through them. And it's just not like that anymore. You have to go out and find them. And that is so risky when you've got no commitment from a client and all the problems that, you know, the contingent model causes. When I talk about, do you mind me elaborating a little bit on this, by the way?
Oh, absolutely. Go for it.
When I talk about the contingent model, to, you know, in my training, I sort of help people to see why it's broken, or rather why it isn't as effective as it is, you know, at working on a retained basis, by using like a few different analogies. I use the grading system, the iceberg, and the house for sale, right? So I say, if you think about the way that a normal contingent recruiter, typical contingent recruiter in every, pretty much every country I've come across and worked in, across every sector, they grade their jobs, you know, some way, shape or form, whether it's, you know, A to D, or whether it's stars or numbers or whatever. You know, a great job is a job that they feel confident about filling, and they're going to work closest to the fee because they've got to spread their risk, basically, because, you know what I'm saying, and all the recruiters watching, I'm sure, will understand. And in order to do that, basically what it means is anything that's slightly, you know, that's more challenging, or it's, you know, it's the client's not as, you know, as good at coming back to them, or the feedback isn't as good, or it's niche, or it's specialist, or maybe the fee's a little bit lower than that one, or it's in a difficult location, or anything that makes it kind of slightly harder, which, let's face it, is a lot of the positions. You know, we were only just talking about the challenge of finding really great, you know, business development recruiters, for example. Yeah. Those positions end up at the bottom of the pile. Yeah. And time and time again, you know, if they're not getting the service, and you can't dedicate the service because it takes too long to find somebody, and you're spending that time at risk because the client might just say, actually, I've decided not to recruit it, or somebody else gets there first. And basically, if you think of, you know, the produced a statistic not long ago about the active numbers of candidates in a talent pool, and it might have shifted a little bit now because of COVID, but beforehand there was 30% of any given talent pool was active and therefore would respond to a LinkedIn message or an email, for example, or an initial approach, and 70% of them wouldn't. And a passive, that balance might have shifted, let's say, let's go bold and say it's 50-50. There's still, or even 60-40, there's still a large percentage of talent that won't respond to an initial approach. And then when you think on a contingent basis, because everybody's working closest to the fee, that's the percent, that's the people that they're engaging with, that visible portion of the iceberg that's above the water, or maybe now just slightly, you know, there's more visibility. Those people that generally are the better candidates because they're showing loyalty and they're not responding to initial approaches and they're being held onto because they're good generally, are the ones that they don't get time to get to because they're constantly balancing the risk with, you know, using the grading system and working closest to the fee. And then when you think that when you get, you know, contingent recruiters working like that, which they do and we all have done, those people are generally the same people that keep getting approached. And so you end up as a client or as a brand in the market looking like a house for sale with loads of for sale signs.
Right. Yeah, I got it.
You know, and that isn't
that's not what
does it say about you? You know, you're not just damaging your reputation in the market now, but all those people are potentially, you know, future hires, and you know, it's not helping you now or in the future. So, you know, when you consider, and also, you know, I could just go on, but also, you know, when you think when you're working on a contingent basis, you've also got to work really quickly because it might get out in the market, somebody might spec a CV on, even if you're working on an exclusive basis, or there might be other agencies involved. So if you do find someone, you got to fucking get the CV. Sorry, am I allowed to swear, by the way? You know, you've got to get the CV over really quickly because, you know, otherwise somebody else might.
There's the other F word, fastest finger. There you go.
Yeah. And we all know we've got to do it, but the impact that has just means we don't get time to spend with the candidate making sure that they are actually definitely right and that they are definitely committed. We've just got to get the CV over first. And so when you put all of those things together in the environment and you look at most of the positions that, you know, experts like you and I and the other recruiters that that we work with are working on, you think it's no fucking wonder that, you know, that the fill rate on a contingent basis is actually typically, you know, 20, sometimes as much as maybe 25%. It's not good. It is. And so, yeah, I am finding that it is pretty broken.
Yeah, it is pretty broken. I mean, look, you've given some figures there and stats there, but, you know, given what's happened with COVID and the sort of volume of applicants that will now be out there due to the sort of mass redundancies we're seeing, can the retain model still work for a potential client?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, we've been using it in most cases recently as one of the main reasons that we need to operate on a retain basis. Mm-hmm. Because yes, there may be more active candidates, which are arguably there's more work in shit sifting. I said it. Have I taken it away from you now?
No, I tried to say it four times to a client before. I'm going to try and say shit-shifting. It's a tongue tip. Try and say it. Shit-sifting.
I love it.
I kept saying shit-shifting. He's going, what are you trying to say? You said it. Shit-sifting. Exactly.
I said it. And I love it.
YouTube, Lou.
I love it. Because, yes, there's more work in doing that. But it's not just that. It's that, you know, those people that won't respond to initial approaches not only take more getting to now because they're being, you know, held on to, but they're more nervous than ever. You know, like they're uncertain times. Who knows who's going to pull through the other side of this? You know, it's it's worrying for people, and so they're cautious of making moves more so than they were before. So
yeah, definitely.
You know, there's a really strong, compelling reason to need to spend more time reassuring, engaging, getting to know, building relationships with the candidates in order to bring them through that process of, you know, the attraction and then, you know, the engagement with the client and then ultimately securing them. It's harder, arguably it's harder than it ever was before. So I absolutely, there's never been a better time to recommend a retained solution. Yeah, definitely. Okay.
Really useful. So the other word, well, the other letter that is the dreaded letter now, apart from the F word, is the P word, which is pivot. Plenty of companies are using this opportunity to pivot, aren't they? So how can maybe selling other services, such as, you know, talent pipeline, etc., consultancy services, actually be advantageous at this time?
Well, I think it's like there was some activity earlier on LinkedIn about, you know, productizing and designing products to suit your clients. And I absolutely wholeheartedly believe that your service should be in response to your clients' challenges.
Definitely.
And so I very much see, you know, products like pipelining and talent mapping and even insight studies as a solution to whatever challenges your client's facing, rather than deciding, oh, now we're going to sell pipelining, right, let's go and shove it under everybody's noses and say, do you want to buy this? So what I do think though is that working on a retained basis or being consultative with your client and, you know, good old fashioned just asking open questions and finding out what their challenges are, uncovers the kind of opportunity that isn't necessarily always solved by a search, you know, a full end-to-end search process. So they're not necessarily ready to make a hire. You know, they might need bench strength, but they know they're going to need it particularly now. You know, they might not be ready to make hires now, but they do want to get a feel and they do want to start building, you know, some kind of pipeline in the market that when they're ready, they've got some relationships and they know that they can move those people to hire. And they don't necessarily have the money to go for a full end-to-end process, but a talent map or a talent pipeline, you know, you can spread the cost of that and build that and split it up into, say, thirds, for example, and start with just the identification and then move into engaging when the client's ready to take on that cost and carry out that activity and then move into the third stage. I guess a lot of people ask me about, you know, services like mapping and pipelining, and I find that quite a few people can overcomplicate it, or rather it can seem like a complex solution, because you think, well, what is that and what does it mean, and, you know, what does it actually look like? And it's just a search in state, it's just stages of the search, the identification and then the engagement and the interaction and bringing people through that process is the pipeline. And then the hire would be, you know, the third stage. And I think if you think of it like that, when you go to a client and say, what challenges are you facing? What's causing you pain? Where do you want to get to? And what's stopping you from getting there? And then you can start to look at putting solutions like that together for them. And because at the moment, you know, people's challenges can be quite complex, or they might not know exactly what they need and when, and they do need the foresight of not just saying, right, I know what I need and I want it now, it's let's have a look here and then decide what to do from there. But so being able to be agile and be flexible about the solutions that you're providing, I think, is really going to help you as a position yourself as a trusted advisor and a partner, rather than that, you know, here's a product, buy it, why don't you want it, have it, I want you to buy it, and that reactive kind of
belief, doesn't it, that you just be that rigid when you just need to through consultant, that's what you do, you listen to what your customer needs, that's what you're doing, that's how you're consulting them. So one final question for this round, because I'm sure we'll have you on again, what, get your crystal ball out, what are your predictions for the second half of 2020 for recruitment?
Well, if the amount of people interested in developing retained search capability is anything to go by, and I guess that's, you know, I'm kind of living in and breathing that world, and, you know, maybe that's a bit of a bubble, but if the amount of people that are wanting to do that is anything to go by, then I would I would like to think that we're starting to change the default of the way that we offer our services and the way that we work with clients. You know, either we do a proper job and we're commissioned to carry that work out, or we don't.
Yep.
And it isn't a sort of by chance, which is the definition of contingent, as I think I might have said before, but it isn't a by chance hope that we get a result and that I can justify or be paid for the time that I spend and hope that the right. client ends up with a result, that it is actually a partnership and it becomes more, that maybe that's a bit of an optimistic prediction, Leisha, but I'd love it if that was the case.
Yeah, but you and me both, and it would actually be recognised as a profession rather than just a, we're just salespeople. We're not actually. We're here as your partners in the same way you would pay your lawyer or you would pay for your IT service or HR. You know, it's exactly the same. It's just got as much commercial value, if not more. So that's all. I do hope that your prediction also comes true. And it's been wonderful to have you on again. And look forward to speaking to you in due course. You take care.
Thank you so much for having me.
No